Thank you very much, and good afternoon to you all for attending this call where we will present the full year 2024 results. With me I have, as usual, the Chairman and CEO, Mr. Carlos Mota Santos, and the CFO of the group, José Carlos Nogueira. As usual, the CEO will start the presentation with some key highlights. Please, Carlos, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Pedro. So welcome all. Thank you for attending the call where we'll disclose the full year 2024 results. As key highlights in the beginning of the presentation, we start by the slide number 5. And as a snapshot, I would like to highlight the strong performance that we achieved last year that is represented not only by a record backlog. It was an increase year-on-year of 21%. We closed the year with the record backlog of 15.6 billion euros that represented the order intake during the year of 8 billion euros, so a record also of contracting during a year. We had a growth in line with our expectations, so a growth of 7%, and we achieved by the end of the year a record turnover of 5.951 billion euros. And most importantly, we grew 14% in terms of EBITDA. So we reached an EBITDA margin of 16%, achieving over 950 million euros. That was also a record profitability, operational profitability, and also like to stress that we have reached 2 years ahead the goal that we have established for 2026. Also to remark a net profit, record net profit of 123 million euros. That means 8% growth year on year, and also in line with our targets that we have stipulated for 2026. Looking into the financial figures, we continue to comply with the goals that we committed ourselves in terms of net debt over EBITDA below 2x. So last year we closed the year with 1.81x net debt over EBITDA, but also in terms of gross debt below the 4x target of a gross debt over EBITDA of 3.12x. This was a commitment that we, as just to remember, we committed of every exercise to comply with these two financial KPIs, and once again in 2024 we did so. In terms of CapEx, we have CapEx of 511 million euros. That was more or less exactly the same CapEx that we had in 2023, but it's important to highlight that more than 75% of this CapEx was committed, was driven to business units with higher margins that we have, and also in long-term contracts, such as industrial engineering in Africa. Just to make a remark that we reached last year a 30% margin EBITDA on this segment, and also in EGF, in our environmental unit, that we reached last year a 22% EBITDA margin. Also, in terms of cash flow generation, we achieved 725 million euros of financial of operational cash flow. That was an increase of almost 40 million year on year. And in terms of equity, we reached almost 850 million euros of equity. This was organic growth. And that allows us to increase our financial autonomy, our equity over ratios to 11%. Just to remind you that we have established to reach on 2026, by the end of 2026, financial autonomy of over 15%. So, moving to slide number 5, just some of the main events on the second half of the year. Commercially speaking, just to stress some major contracts that have been awarded in several regions, Latin America, in Africa, with a big impact coming from the industrial engineering, where we have established new contracts with several different clients. Also to stress that we've been awarded the second phase of the international airport, new international airport in Rwanda, for the client of Qatar Airways. And also here in Portugal, just to stress the award of the first stretch of the high-speed train, which is not yet accountable in our backlog, but we are foreseeing that during the beginning of second half of this year we will sign the contract, and then the works will begin early next year. Also to stress some relevant deals that we made financially speaking, namely with multilaterals and other financial institutions, that is a recognition of our increasing relevance of Mota-Engil in the several regions that we operate. Moving to slide number 6, just to make some update on the strategic plan. We can see not only the positive evolution in some of the main performance indicators, but also that we already achieved 2 years ahead some of the targets that we have established for 2026. I would like to announce that not only because we are anticipating some of the goals that we established for 2026, but also because of the increasing changes in the world and the constant dynamic that we have within the group, that we are now thinking about a new strategic plan and working on a new strategic plan with new goals and new, more ambitious goals towards 2030, in which I can already disclose that the main driver is going to be profitability once again. Moving to slide number 7 and talking a little bit about sustainability, just two important remarks. First of all, it was the first year that we complied and replied to the CDP survey. We have achieved a B-, that is a very positive result, and we think with a big margin to improve in the next few years. Also, on the S&P Global ESG score, we achieve a better result than last year. Last year, we have 42 points. This year already 51 points, but as important or more importantly, when we compare with the peers within the industry average, we can see that Mota-Engil performs better in all the three dimensions of the ESG, environmental, social, and also in terms of governance. So this was a snapshot, an overview of what happened last year with the group. And now I pass again to Pedro Reis, that is going to do the results overview, and I'll close the presentation with the final remarks and the outlook for 2025. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. So moving to slide 9, and very briefly, I would like to highlight, as mentioned before, that both indicators of turnover and EBITDA was achieved 2 years ahead, and it's important to mention that the set of results shows that the company is delivering a higher profitability and showing, as we will detail further on, that the company is improving the operational performance in each business unit that together as a group allows the company to achieve the 123 million euros of net profit. Important to mention in this slide, as we comment in the last calls, that we made a capital gain here that includes the sale of the Polish operation and the two roads concessions in Mexico. Move to slide 10. We can see here that the company, as I mentioned, increased in all the business units the turnover with 8% increase in the engineering construction, 10% in environment, and 5% in Mota-Engil Capital and Next. And very important to comment the detail that you can see here, a solid growth of 15% in Africa in turnover and an impressive 41% in EBITDA, and considering the increase of 77% in the second half of 2024 in the African division. With the industrial engineering segment showing an increase from 25% to 30% EBITDA margin, and the environment, as Carlos mentioned, the improvement to 22% in EBITDA margin. These higher contributions from the African division proves that the group is investing in the last 2 years in the segments with higher margins, and we are fully convinced that we have consistently this positive trend. We will maintain that to the upcoming years. So moving to slide 11, it's important to highlight here the very successful year regarding new awards, with a record level in a unique year, 8 billion euros, with a commercial strategy focused on core markets that represented 73% of total backlog, the contracts of larger size that allows to have a comfortable order book to the next 3 years, a focus on the segments of higher margin, such as industrial engineering that represents 25% already of the engineering construction backlog, and already in 2025 we will have here a very strong increase in turnover from this segment that will put Mota-Engil as one of the biggest players in mining worldwide. Important also to mention that here in this backlog in December is not included the expected revenues from the concessions like EGF and the road concessions, and also the first stretch of the high-speed train in Portugal, already awarded, as you know, but not yet signed. Move to slide 12. We can see here that the company made a total capex of 511 million euros, with growth and long-term contracts representing 76%, mainly channeled to Africa, that represents 63% of total capex, and focused on industrial engineering, and also with 74 million euros in EGF, the Portuguese waste treatment company. In a nutshell, it's important to mention that the investment made for the company in the last quarters have been focused in segments that will support the healthy margin of 16% EBITDA margin ahead, and putting Mota-Engil as one of the best operational performance in the industry. Also important to mention here, the ratio of maintenance capex by sales that is around 1%, reflecting a higher efficiency in heavy equipment management and internal procurement procedures that was implemented, allowing a higher capacity to allocate investment in growth and long-term contracts. Moving to slide 13, very briefly, we can see here a positive trend in the financial autonomy ratio, improving to 11% and aligned with the strategic targets, as mentioned by our CEO, that we want to achieve 15%. Moving to slide 14 here, we can see the increase of 5% of the operating cash flow to 725 million euros. To explain in each caption in the water floor graphic that you can see here in this slide, we can begin from the left to the right from the outstanding performance in EBITDA level, almost 1 billion euros. As you can see here, the capital allocation made to the corporate tax with an effective rate of 32%, the change of working capital aligned with the payment terms, and at your right, a very specific movement that is very simple to explain, that is related with the cost invoices in the last days of the year in a milestone contract that was only possible to issue the invoice and to receive in February. And in this sense, it's important to mention that this caption is already monetized and eliminated from the cash flow statement since the beginning of 2025. At your right, you can see what we comment in detail, the capex of 511 million euros, and the net investment in concessions, and here we have investments in Mexico, in Lobito Corridor, and small amount in Portugal, discounted with the sale of the two concessions in Mexico. And of course, the final interest, assuming the bulk, the 240 million euros here, and the normal caption that we always put here regarding dividends. In conclusion, we can see here that the cash flow generation is being reinvested in business units with higher margins and with higher capacity to generate added value in the upcoming years, and with the debt as control levels as established in the strategic plan. Moving to slide 15, and looking to with more detail the debt evolution, is important to mention that this evolution is aligned with the strategy of value creation, reflected in the maintenance of both ratios, net debt EBITDA and gross debt EBITDA, better than the targets established in the strategic plan that I remembered that is 2x and 4x respectively. Moving to slide 16, here you can see the liquidity position, a very solid figure regarding this indicator, where with 1.1 billion euros we surpass the non-revolving financial installments for the next 3 years, and from the debt with maturities with less than 1 year, important to mention that 70%, equal to almost 600 million euros, it's already refinanced or to be refinanced shortly. Also worth to highlight the increase of the debt maturity to 2.7 years and the 7.7% average cost of debt that reflects the global context of higher interest rate curves, and also reflecting the mix of local currency debt in core markets in Africa and LATAM, as you know, is with higher rates comparing to Europe, but is something that we expect to improve in 2025 with the expected reduction of the interest rates globally speaking. Moving now to the slide 20, to make a brief overview and outlook for each business unit, and starting by the European division, here you can see that the turnover decreased 12% year on year, but is a figure only impacted by the sale of the Polish operation, considering that the Portuguese market in turnover was stable and steady margins around 8%. Looking to the future here, and considering only the Portuguese market, you can see here the increase year on year of 57% on the backlog, impacted by the new works, the new projects in Lisbon with the new hospital, the expansion of the existing airport, the metro line, and very important, the relevant projects that we expect to be successful in the upcoming years, namely the high-speed train and other transport projects here in Portugal. Moving to slide 22, it's important to mention that Motagil Africa has as main contributors Nigeria and Angola, namely with the and supporting the 41% increase in EBITDA in the region that allows the company to achieve a very impressive margin of 26% at the full year of 24. To become possible, this performance is important to mention the contribution from the industrial engineering that increased to a 30% margin, being a very relevant contributor to achieve the high performance of the group and proving the right decision from the business development teams to invest in this very important segment that already has 11 contracts and a significant backlog that represents more than 3 billion euros, equal to 25% of total backlog in engineering construction. Also important to comment that the risk mitigation scheme is very robust in Africa, considering that 98% of total contracts are signed with Tier 1 clients or financed with multilaterals or public guaranteed in financing by financial institutions that are very recognized, and we put it in the main achievements in the second half as these important agreements for allow this increase in the African division. At the end, it's important to comment the successful performance of the Lobito Corridor in this full year, the first full year of operation, in which we have a very positive perspectives for the increase of activity in the next years in one of the most relevant corridors for international trading in Africa. Moving now to the slide 24, to LATAM, and here you can see a growth of 8% year on year in turnover to roughly 3 billion euros as the main contributor here for the turnover of the group, a new record in the region that assuring growth to a company like Mota-Engil. That was important to mention with the figures of 2023, the second largest contractor in the region of Latin America. In this sense, Mota-Engil expects to the near future to increase the activity in other markets beside Mexico, with Peru, Brazil and Colombia as the main focus for business development in 2025, combined with the focus on the Mexican market with huge opportunities related with energetic transition and industrial construction. As you can see here in the slide 25, the company complied in 2024 with the commitment made to the market to reinforce the asset rotation with the monetization of two concessions in Mexico, concluding the transaction with an implied price above 1.8 times the book value, giving in this way the visibility to show that Mota-Engil the capacity to obtain positive returns in line with the expected multiples, and with this in this sense confirming the existing hidden value in the road concession. Moving to slide 27, in environment, we can see here the turnover EBITDA. The turnover was up 10% year on year, and the EBITDA increased 11% with the EBITDA margin increasing to 22%, mostly impacted by the positive performance in the waste collection segment managed by SUMA, and also with good performance from EGF. Important to mention that all the segments showed a positive trend of growth, more than compensating the business sold of industrial recycling, and with a very challenging new regulatory period for 2025-2027 for EGF, in which we foreseen an increase in activity for the next 3 years. For last, to see all the business units, we can move to slide 29, and here you can see the contribution from Mota-Engil Capital and MEXT that achieved together 141 million euros in turnover with a stable margin of 9%. Here it is important to mention the investment that has been made for the diversification in new projects, namely in concessions, like the new Lisbon hospital that is already, we already start the construction, and the projects regarding the two first stretches of the high-speed train in Portugal, the studies that have been made to study these two and to prepare the two standards, and considering that with a successful achievement that the first stretch is already awarded to our consortium led by Mota-Engil, but with in a total of six companies, all Portuguese companies, and considering that this contract is not included yet in our backlog. the real estate, we are in an early stage of development these projects, and we expect more visible revenues in 2026. And here we put it also other long-term projects in forestry and carbon trade in Africa, a good example of Mama Land. And finally, a new company, Mota-Engil Energia, in which we expect to develop several new projects, starting already in 2025, with the main goal of capturing value from existing infrastructures with waste-to-value technologies. And here, with the conclusion of the brief results from all the business units, we will move to the final remarks and overview with our CEO, Carlos Mota Santos.
Thank you, Pedro. So for the final remarks, ending this presentation, I would like to stress that we achieved the best results ever, not only in terms of net results, 123 million, but also we achieved a record turnover, a record EBITDA, and also a record backlog. I want to stress that our backlog is quite unique in terms of dimension, but more important than the dimension is the quality of the backlog. So it's a backlog that has within its qualities good profitability, good margins, and good cash flow profile. That is essential for our next years, that we have a very sound position in which we can be even more selective in our commercial activity, picking the projects that will create and will enforce this cycle of optimization in terms of the profitability and in terms of the generation of cash flow. So we can expect for this year and the months to come and for the years to come for the company to be even more cautious in its commercial activities, taking the advantage of this important backlog that we have. In terms of that, we are completely aligned with the commitments that we've been delivering each year, that is within our strategic plan, and that we once again say that we are going to comply every exercise with the two criteria of net debt over EBITDA below 2x and gross debt over EBITDA below 4x. We achieved in 2024 some of the strategic targets that we established for the strategic plan of 2026, and therefore, as I announced previously, we are now working in a new strategic framework that will be materialize in a new strategic plan and a new business plan with more ambitious goals for 2030, in which these goals will be even more ambitious in terms of profitability. That will be the key driver for the new strategic plan. As always, ESG sustainability is one of our strategic pillars and will continue to be an enhancer and enabler of our growth and our commitment with environmental, with social best practice, and also with governance best practice. So for this year, we can expect, moving to the slide number 32, we can expect as in 2024, a single digit turnover growth, with Africa being the main driver, not only in terms of activity, but mainly in terms of profitability for 2025 and years to come, with a very important contribution in terms of this profitability of industrial engineering. Just to recall that we achieved this year a margin of 30% of EBITDA with a turnover of 400 million euros, slightly over 400 million euros in 2025. For sure, this turnover will grow at least 100%, and we expect to achieve the same levels of profitability, therefore having a very important contribution towards the profitability of those groups. So we can expect EBITDA in line with the 16% that we already achieved in 2024. And once again, we want to maintain this high quality backlog so we can be very, very cautious in our commercial activity and be even more selective in order to have a backlog that can support our strategy of profitability. Also, to reinforce that we are doing an efficiency program during 2025 and also during 2026, it's called the OPEX 50. And why it's called OPEX 50? Because within these 2 years, we want to cut 50 million euros of OPEX in each year. So 50 million euros in 2025 and 50 million euros in 2026. So this is one very important goal that we established ourselves in the beginning of this year and that we want to deliver by the end of this year, 2025, with the first phase of this program of cutting 50 million euros in OPEX within the group. We are continuing to focus on the cash flow generation, so we can expect a lower level of CapEx during 2025. It's important to stress that we did more than 76% of the CapEx during this year was aimed for the main drivers of profitability, being the most important contribution to industrial engineering. And the fact is today we have a very strong backlog in industrial engineering, and therefore we can expect not to have such a big CapEx during the year, namely for this area. So we can expect a CapEx around 7% of the turnover. We commit, once again, to maintain ourselves within the parameters that we establish of net debt over EBITDA, gross debt over EBITDA, and continue to grow our financial autonomy in order to achieve the target of 15% at least by the end of 2026, above 15%. Also, we are continuing to proceed with our ongoing asset strategy rotation. So what happened this year, last year in Mexico with the selling assets of the Mexican concession will continue to be delivered during the year. And as we've been doing for the last few years, that will positively impact our net profit, a recurring impact every year. And also, just to finalize, we just approved in the last board of directors to propose a dividend in the next general meeting of 0.1497 euros per share. That is more or less 45 million euros of total dividends. And as always, the group is totally committed with a sustainable growth. And this sustainability will also be a key driver of the next strategic plan. So thank you all for attending the call, for listening to the presentation, and now we are fully available to answer some of to all the questions that you might have. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. As a reminder, if you wish to ask the question, please press star followed by 5 on your telephone keypad. And our first question comes from the line of Miguel González from JB Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the presentation and for taking my questions. Three from me, please. First, sorry if I missed it, but on your CapEx guidance, you assume a ratio below 7%, which is below the 9% delivered this year, excluding concessions. So I just wanted to clarify if you could explain the drivers for this decline, whether this is related with some synergies from previous contracts, or this is due to a slowdown on the sales growth, maybe. And related to this, could you explain, out of the 172 million concession capex, how much in is equity and related to the concession sales in Mexico, and then how much concession capex would you spend for 2025? And secondly, margins in Africa were very high, especially during the second half of the year. So I don't know if this could be related to the start of the new contracts, or is there any positive one-offs? So just bet these margins are sustainable in the future. And finally, my last question is on the contract for the second section of the high-speed train. I read in the press that your bid could be finally excluded. So any update on this project could be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Miguel. Thank you for your questions. I'm going to answer on the from the last one to the first one, with some help from Zé Carlos on the concession question. So, starting from the last question about the second stretch of high-speed train, what we know is that our bid, the bid that we presented, was proposed to be disqualified. We are not going to contest. It was important for us to present the bid because it was a possibility or was an opportunity to show our commitment towards the process, the project, but also our capacity to deliver a proposal within the maximum value that was established, even though it was with the optimization of the design solutions. What we can expect is that the government will launch a new tender that we hope to be as fast as possible, because it's important for the process of the whole project. And we also, what can be expected is that our consortium that is composed by the six Portuguese companies will be again in the tender and will present a very competitive offer. Moving to the third question, the margin in Africa, as you can see from the results, they are very sound margins, not only in engineering construction, but especially in the industrial engineering. So being able not only to do a turnover of over 400 million euros, but also, but more importantly, to achieve a 30% EBITDA margins, is the result that our strategy that we've been pursuing in the last 5 years of this commercial activity within the industrial engineering has been the right one. And what we can expect for 2025 and these years to come is a bigger contribution in terms of volume of this activity, industrial engineering, and therefore a positive impact in the overall EBITDA of the region of Africa. So to answer straight to your question, yes, this is a sustainable margins that will be delivered. It was not one-off last year, but will be sustainable towards this year and also the next year, the years to come within our African activities. So Africa will be, as we've been saying, one of the main drivers of our activity, not only in terms of turnover, but also especially in terms of profitability. Moving to the first question that is related, very related with the industrial activity, we say that for this year we have a capex, expected capex of 7% of the turnover. Why we are going to have a decrease from 9% to 7% is especially related with the industrial engineering. So this is not a sign that we are going to diminish our activity. No, it is the fact that we do not expect to have the same levels of capex because we are not initiating so many contracts this year as we did in 2024 and in 2023. As you know, the capex of these contracts are very demanding and they are always done at the beginning of the contract. So when we win a contract during the mobilization phase, that is during the first year, we have very high demand in terms of capex, not only capex in acquiring equipment, but also the capex that is relating by all the activities that we need to do, namely to do the investment in the main yard and all the infrastructure that are needed to sustain the project during the usually 5 years of duration of these contracts. Just to remind you that usually these contracts are between 5 to 7 years, and that is during the second to third year that we start to gain efficiencies and synergies, and therefore is when our profitability arises. That will happen this year of 2025. As I said, but also already happened partially in 2024. So this is the main explanation of what we have as a guideline for the CAPEX being 7% of the turnover. Moving on to the question that you did about 172 million euros investment in concessions, and I'm going to ask also José Carlos to help me answering on this one, but I can say to you that this is not only related to Mexican concessions, but also is basically in three dimensions: Mexican concessions, Lobito Corridor in Africa, that is, in my opinion, I've been seeing this for the last few calls, that is the most valuable asset that Motagil has, and also some investment in minor and smaller projects here in Portugal, namely Matadouro, and also some real estate projects. But Zekar, can you complete this question?
Good afternoon, everyone, first of all. This is João Carlos, thank you for being here. Just to clarify a little bit more regarding the CAPEX, we can say that we can compare the 7% with the 9% that we've done in 2024. But it's important to disclose as well that this 7%, it doesn't consider the investment that we predict to do during 2025 in concessions. And regarding the 172 million of net investment in concessions, I can tell you that this represents an investment of 230 million, first of all, and then we had the positive effect of the capital gains. The Mexican concessions, they represent 141 million of investment plus 50 million regarding Lobito Corridor, plus circa 10 million regarding Marmaland, and then 20-something million regarding the concessions, small concessions that we have here in Portugal. So, in resume, we can say that it's 230 million of investment minus the capital gain that we achieved with the sale of Autopista Cardel and Autopista Tuxpan during 2024. Regarding the driver for 2025. And namely in Mexican concessions, we predict to invest around 150 million based on Aeropuerto Puerto Escondido, based on Guadalajara GDL4, and based on small concessions here in Portugal as well. It will represent 150 million for 2025. And the same concessions heading Pyramids to Topec in Mexico, it will represent more 355 million from 26 and onwards, and it will represent a total investment of 500 million roughly.
Very clear.
Miguel,
thank you.
Have we answered your question?
Yeah, very clear. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Pedro Antunes from CaixaBank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. First of all, congratulations on the results and thank you for taking my question. I only have a single question to you. You talked a lot in this presentation about the goal of increasing profitability. So do you have any plan to help reduce the weight of non-controlling interests in terms of total net profit? Thank you.
Thank you, Pedro. Thank you for your question. Straight answer, no, we don't have more. We think, and the history has been history is being giving us reason that the fact that we have partners in several business, namely in the in Nigeria, in Mexico, and Angola, in the environment, are a strong factor of our success. So we don't have any plan to diminish the minorities. We are very happy with the partners. What we have is to increase the profitability in all the business, having minorities or not. So our aim, just to recall, for 2026 was 3% of net income. By 2026, we are paving the way towards that goal. Nevertheless, like I said, we can expect to have a new strategic plan towards 2030, and of course, that the goal that we'll establish for 2030 has to be more demanding, more ambitious than the one that we have established for 2026.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of João Vermelho from Bestinver. Please go ahead. João, your line is open. Due to no response, I'm going to move to the next question. The next question comes from the line of Felipe Martins from CaixaBank. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, hello, everyone. I have four questions on my side. So first one, when do you expect to announce or to present the strategic plan that you mentioned during the presentation? Second one, related with your exposure to Mexico, and how do you see the current situation, the intention of the U.S. administration to impose heavy tariffs on Mexican imports that I believe will start already next month. If you are seeing any delays in the planned investment from private or public entities. Third question on Duro Felguera, and how do you see the current situation of the group, and probably more important, if we can see Mota-Engil actively participating in the restructure process of the group with additional funds. And last one, I think that it was in a recent interview or in a recent intervention that Carlos mentioned the need of a consolidation movement in the Portuguese construction sector. Do you believe that Mota-Engil can make part of this consolidation movement in the future in Portugal? Thank you.
Thank you, Philippe. Thank you for your questions. Starting from the first question, we can expect to have a new strategic plan by early 2025. So early 2026, so early next year. So we are going to do this strategic exercise that we already started during this year. That will be materialized in a strategic plan and a business plan. And as you might know, next year will be our 80th anniversary, so the 80 years since its foundation. So I think it's a good year to launch a new strategic plan with more ambitious goals towards 2030. So we can expect that to be happening beginning 2026. Exposure to Mexico and the impact that can have. Look, I think that many times I say my opinion, and I think that what is happening between this tariff war is part of a negotiation process that we already saw in the past during the first administration of President Trump. So what actually is happening on the ground is that more and more we can see that the industrial investment that is happening within this nearshoring phenomenon is being increased year on year. So every year there's opening 1 million square meters of new industrial facilities, and in order to accommodate this industrialization of the economical block of North America that compels the three countries, Canada, United States, and Mexico, in order for that to happen in Mexico, it's necessary also to have a strong investment in terms of of infrastructure, namely logistic, railway and ports, is expected to be launching even during the first half of the this first semester. A big package of railway infrastructure through public works in Mexico. So Ms. President Claudia Sheinbaum is going to announce this new package by during this first half of the year, and also it's important to accommodate all this industrial investment to reinforce the energy capacity production and also the capacity of the transmission lines and the grid in order to accommodate this energy increasing capacity production capacity. Therefore, what we see on the ground is a big investment in these three dimensions, in this nearshoring phenomenon that is basically a movement in order for the North American bloc to be decoupling more and more from Asia, especially on China, to be more independent in terms of this capacity of raw materials and also processing capacity. And what we see on the ground also is more and more presence of American investors, not only in the industrial sector, but also in the infrastructure sector where we are present. What we see is that investment funds from the United States more and more are interesting and are committing equity and financing to the Mexican infrastructure projects. So what I think is going to happen is that in the end, this is a negotiation tactic. The Trump administration, as we all know, is a transactional way of doing business, of negotiating, and therefore what they want is in fact to have better conditions to invest and to reach an agreement within the three countries that is a fair agreement to all, but more important than fair, that in the end that does not harm the North American economy, United States economy, and imposing tariff will be exactly the other way around. This is how I see it. Duro Felgueiro, to be completely clear, we will not do any additional funding to the Duro Felgueiro project, to Duro Felgueiro investment. As I recall you, we did this investment through our subsidiary Motagil Mexico alongside with our partner in Motagil Mexico, that is Prodi. The investment that we did gave us today an indirect exposure of around 14% in Duro Felgueiro, but more importantly is for us to understand that this was an instrumental investment. Why? Exactly because of the nearshoring phenomenon. We, Motagil Mexico, needed the capacity of having the technical capabilities, the curriculum and know-how in order to compete in this new industrial sector, not only in the industrial facilities, but also in the dimension of energy. And therefore, that was the main reason why we did this investment. And what we can conclude for the time being is that the investment already paid off, and the fact is that we've been awarded the first contract, that was the fertilizer plant that we show here in the presentation. Answering the final question of the consolidation process, we are not going to take part of any consolidation process. To be completely clear, we are not going to acquire, to merge, nothing. What we would like to see happen here in the infrastructure sector in Portugal, in the construction sector, is that it would be very positive for the sector and therefore for Motagil to have bigger companies with bigger capacity. So we would like to see companies with similar sizes to Motagil. Therefore, I think that a movement of concentration in the sector will be very important, not only for the competition of the sector as a whole, but also the capacity that the sector would have to internationalize themselves. Just look what happened in Spain. They are a good example. They did add the capacity to gain scale through mergers. That is what I defend here in Portugal, and that was what Motagil did more than 20 years ago.
Perfect. Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Philip.
The next question comes from the line of João Vermelho from Bestinver. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I hope you can hear me now. Sorry, I was on mute before. So first of all, congratulations for the record results. It's always a pleasure to be here, as you know. Most of my questions have been answered, but I still have a couple of them. So on one hand, I would like you to clarify why you have break down the change in working capital between what I would assume is the normal change in working capital and the one that is related to milestone-based impact, if you can clarify that on one hand. And then I noticed as well that the margin in Latin America decreased a little bit as compared to last year. Maybe the reason is because last year's EBITDA margin was maybe above average, I don't know. But I mean, 10.8% still seems a very decent margin for the region, if I remember correctly. But if you could clarify that, I would be thankful. Thank you very much and congratulations again.
Juan, good to hear from you. Hope you are okay. Just so two questions, starting from the last one. No, basically the margin that we achieved in Latin America was it's a very good margin, a very sound margin. Last year we had a bigger contribution from Mayotrain, that was a very important project. This year the contribution was not so big, but basically this is according with our trends and what we had established in our strategic plan. I'm glad you did the first question about the working capital and why did that breakdown. That is very, we can explain that in a very detailed way, because this is related with one project, one, let's say, very special project that we have. And for this detailed explanation, I'm going to pass the word here to José Carlos.
Very well. Thank you, João, for your question. And for your patience, because I'm going to ask you for 2 minutes for me to explain you, it's very, I believe, very, very clear. It's true, like Carlos was saying, it's regarding a specific project. It's a project of supply and installation of rolling stock trains. It's complementary to the railway project that we have in Nigeria. The railway project in Nigeria. It's a 900 million project. Our commitment is to find a supplier, to produce the trains, and then we have the responsibility to put it on the ground and to install all the facilities. So the context is like, it's like that. The project involves that supply of rolling stock, the trains. And it's very specific, and it's very specific in terms of revenue recognition methods. And why? On the contrary to the typical EPC contracts, where we can recognize the revenue in a monthly basis, then we can invoice and then receive. Here, the recognition of the revenue. It's just possible to recognize and to be invoiced when specific milestones, same meaning that level of completion are met. This means the supplier may complete part of the works, but the correspondence to revenue is not is only recognized when once the agreed milestone contractually, there's a specific scope of works, is reached. So what's the impact of this revenue recognition method in our working capital? Since the revenue is only recognized when the milestones are achieved, cash flow is not aligned with the incurred costs that I already have from my supplier. Costs are recognized and paid monthly, but the revenues only when the milestones are achieved, creating this, I would say, mismatch. This can create, of course, a peak in terms of working capital, especially during the periods when the milestones have not been met, as the revenue is not being recognized proportionally to the costs. So in summary, the effect on working capital is not a sign of financial mismanagement, of course, but it's normal as a result of these specific contracts, bearing in mind that revenue recognition matters. This the time difference in revenue recognition temporarily impacts our working capital, but since we achieved the milestone, like we've done now in February, we can invoice and we can collect, and that's why we are saying that it's already monetized. It's a specific characteristic of this specific contract, producing first, then achieving milestones, and then having the right to recognize, invoice, and collect then. Of course, during the cutoff, we were on that timeline where there was that mismatch between the supplier cash out and the client cash in.
João, is it clear?
Clear. If I may, I have a very last question, which is, and I'm sure that you were expecting that question from me, is how advanced payments have evolved last year as compared to the previous one. The reason I ask this question is to have a better sense of on how advanced payments affected cash flow. Thank you very much.
Thank you, João. We were to answer that question, even if you didn't ask, because this is a tradition that we want to keep ongoing every year. So, down payments, Zekars, can you answer?
Yes, the evolution of the advance payment was minus 482 million, meaning that the advance payments from clients, they diminished 425 million. And we increased the advance payment to the suppliers in circa 57 million. So that there was, an extra effort here regarding the working capital management.
So unlike the previous year, this year we had a different rotation of the down payments.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, João. Nice to hear
you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by 5 on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions from the conference call at this time, so I'll hand back to the management team. Thank you.
So, once again, Carlos speaking, I want to thank you all for attending the call. This was a very positive year, but we are very excited about 2025, and we are even more excited with this new strategic exercise that we are doing in order to have a more ambitious plans for the 2030 year. And also that is a good way to commemorate our 80th anniversary. So thank you all for attending the call. Thank you for the questions. Our investment relations teams is always available to answer any doubts or any questions that you might have. Thank you all. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you very much.